John Daly here. You know what day it is? Neither do I. I live life daily. That's why I only spin on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily, and the best part? Guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto, America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Armenia, former part of the Soviet Empire. Azerbaijan, former part of the Soviet Empire. In the late 20th century, when the Soviet Empire collapsed, the borderlands between Azerbaijan and neighboring states, between Armenia and neighboring states, were not firmly defined. There was scrambling, there was war fighting, and one of the major conflicts was between Azerbaijan and Armenia. 20 years later, the dispute remains. And I welcome Brenda Schaefer of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, who's been my guide for many years on this complicated South Caucasus arrangement. Armenia and Azerbaijan are at loggerheads over a part of what was once Azerbaijan during the Soviet era. It's called Nagorno-Karabakh, and neighboring parts of the disputed state, including an exclave that is attached to Azerbaijan but cannot be reached easily by road. Remembering now, as Iran is to the south, Turkey's to the west, Russia's to the north. In other words, a rough neighborhood. Brenda, there's positive news, I think. Reuters, within these last days, Armenia and Azerbaijan holding a new round of talks in Washington to try to normalize relations. Yerevan is the capital of Armenia. Baku is the capital of Azerbaijan. The following news says that Secretary Blinken set in to speak with the foreign minister of Armenia and the foreign minister of Azerbaijan, and the talks have continued for more than one day. The recent dispute has led to violence in Nagorno-Karabakh, despite peacekeepers from the Russian Federation, an irony in itself. What is your measure of this present round of talks? Does it compare to something that is significant, or is it maneuvering for public relations? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. I think that Secretary Blinken's initiative is very positive. And yes, it is exceptional in the sense that it's not just a courtesy call, but he's already told the foreign ministers, ahead of the meeting, plan to stay in Washington for several days. So seeing this really as a serious working effort and not a photo op. At the same time, someone just asked me recently, is this a new Camp David? Is Secretary Blinken hosting like Egypt and Israel for a fundamental peace treaty? And I think we should recall that when Egypt turned to Washington to negotiate peace with Israel, one of the major motivation was to be able, for Egypt to be able to leave the Soviet bloc and dependence on the USSR. And I think we'll know if we have really fundamental peace in the region when Armenia makes a strategic decision to, to end its complete really control by Moscow. Today, Armenia hosts three Russian military bases, even one additional base that, was added in 2021. Russia controls Armenia's airspace. Russia controls its air defense, some of its borders. So for Armenia to be able to make an independent decision and really go for peace, it's going to have to change its relationship with Russia. And precisely because of that, it's really good that the U.S. is making this initiative, because I think the Secretary of State realizes that this conflict is a tool of both Russia and Iran. They benefit from it. They use it. And the only way to lower their ability, Russia and Iran's ability to influence the greater region is to bring peace.
These are fragile moments in the region. I note that within days, there'll be a significant election in Turkey, whether Mr. Erdogan is to continue his more than two decades president's leadership in Turkey. And Mr. Erdogan was a principal in the combat of late 2020. Where our Azerbaijan was successful in recapturing Nagorno-Karabakh and producing the present standoff with Russian peacekeepers. Erdogan is important. also important is Russia and the opinion of Moscow as to whether this area should be resolved or kept in perpetual, what you'd have to say, a frozen status of diplomacy. Your measure right now of Kremlin specifically, is this useful to the Kremlin to turn this on and off, to take the pressure off of Ukraine, or has the Kremlin turned its back on the resolution?
Yeah, so first thing, you know, there's been a plethora of articles in the last year that Russia is distracted and therefore, you know, the conflict is breaking out again. Couldn't be more wrong. It's exactly the opposite, precisely because Russia is in a very sensitive strategic situation. And there's zero reputation costs anymore to intervention. Russia's actually been quite, you know, is using this conflict as it always has, you know, and all the so-called ethnic conflicts in the former Soviet space to promote its interests. Russia has no true interest in resolving the conflict. It has had no interest of really being a peacekeeper, you know, just like its behavior in Georgia and Moldova. And, the conflict is a tool, to try to coerce the two states, Armenia and Azerbaijan, to accept its dictates. Right now, actually, probably the most antagonistic actor against the peace process is actually Iran. Iran really fears any sort of change in the status quo, regional cooperation that will maybe allow Turkey a greater role in the region. Iran has always been happy that Azerbaijan is embroiled in conflict and therefore can be less attractive to its own Azerbaijani minority. So right now, the biggest backing to prevent the peace process right now to Armenia is Iran, and therefore that's another reason why it's good that the U.S. is engaging in this process and hopefully lowering Iran's influence over the events.
Is Iran still capable of using a trucking route through this region to reach Armenia, or has that been cut off because of the settlement?
So Iran has a direct border with Armenia still. And I would not be surprised if that land border is used to supply arms to Russia, because Russia has three bases, including an air base in Armenia, and easily arms could come over from Iran through Armenian territory undetected and then go directly into Russian planes where it'd be a lot less detectable. It's not like a flight from Iran to Russia that sort of would intelligence agencies would be looking at that, observing that. This is just a Russian flight taking off from Yerevan. So that land border exists. Iran, the border between Iran had a long border with the occupied territories, and it enjoyed, you know, using that for all sorts of illicit activity for many years. And the 2020 war greatly reduced the border of Iran it took away this border with the occupied territories.
I want to celebrate some good news here, because we can forever analyze why it is that this region cannot calm down. But there is great prosperity at hand and into the future. Azerbaijan has a terminal called Sangachal. And Sangachal sends gas and oil to the Europe, to Georgia, to Turkey, onto tankers in the Mediterranean, but now because of the Southern Gas Corridor, all the way to Italy. Recently, the news comes that President Tokayev of Kazakhstan and President Aliyev of Azerbaijan have reached an agreement for oil. First oil. Kazakhstan has plenty of oil and gas, but first oil to cross the Caspian Sea to Sangachal and be sent on to the Mediterranean. This is an agreement that people have dreamed about for years. Brenda, you're in Baku. Is this a significant advance for the prosperity of the people of Azerbaijan?
Well, it's actually a very important advance for the independence of Kazakhstan and for Central Asia. So with the war in general, tanker and other traffic, it's been much more perilous in the Black Sea, and specifically Russia since the outbreak of the war in February 2022 has periodically shut off Kazakhstani oil for a variety of reasons to export markets, and over 90% of Kazakhstan's oil export goes through Russia. So this was very serious. And Kazakhstan's oil is about to its oil production is expanding this year and next year. And so it's a very, very serious lever over Kazakhstan and over the world economy, because if you can shut out 1 million barrels a day, you know, you can really make prices really soar. Russia had this great lever because there's one thing when you cut your own production to make prices soar, but what could be better when you cut your neighbor's production to make prices soar? So for Kazakhstan to diversify its routes, it's very important. This is a strategic development. And with Kazakhstani oil coming out through the BTC, coming into the Mediterranean, this changes a lot of oil flows. On the other hand, I think there is an interconnection to the previous topic of conflict, because, like I said, Russia is not distracted. Russia will find a way to promote its interests. So the fact that Azerbaijan is now transiting Kazakhstani oil that Russia's tried to disrupt, the fact that Azerbaijan is upping its gas exports to Europe, you know, to make up for the shortfall of, you know, with the Russian supplies not reaching Europe anymore. You know, this is not something that Russia just likes to sit and watch. And I wouldn't be surprised if the reflaming of the conflict in recent months is also connected to Russia trying to disrupt these efforts.
And the first shipment has already arrived at Sangachal and been transferred to the Mediterranean. Is that correct, Brenda?
Yeah, it came out in Ceyhan. Yeah, already came out in the Ceyhan port.
That's in the Mediterranean. So what we're looking at is a new opportunity for the people of Kazakhstan. Look at your map. Kazakhstan is vast. It covers an enormous border with Russia, but it has very few people in comparison to other parts of Central Asia. To the south, these are landlocked countries. To the south, Uzbekistan has the most population in the Central Asia, more than 30 million, 33 million. It's climbing all the time. Whereas my memory of Kazakhstan is about 20 million. I might be several years behind, Brenda. But this also gives authority to the dream that the Caspian Sea Basin will be prosperous in future. Is that part of the story coming out of there, or is everybody being green eyeshade and not talking about the future?
I think that a very big development is that there is increasing cooperation between the Central Asian states and Azerbaijan and Turkey. It started following the 2020 Armenia-Azerbaijan war, when sort of there was proof of concept, when the Central Asian states could see that for the first time that Turkey is really willing to, you know, sort of back up with serious, you know, security support for Azerbaijan, and, you know, potentially that could be in their future. So we've seen in the last year a number of security and defense agreements signed between Turkey and countries of the region, especially Kazakhstan and Uzbekistan, cooperation between Azerbaijan and Kazakhstan on a variety of levels. This is something worth watching, that as the countries of the region try to deal with, you know, Russia's invasions and the new, you know, security challenges, that they're actually cooperating together, a lot more. This is very good for the United States. Obviously, Iran doesn't like seeing this type of cooperation developing on its northern border.
Let's go to Iran. This is Brenda Schaefer of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. Importantly, she's in Baku, the capital of Azerbaijan. And to the south of Brenda and the south of the Caspian Sea is the extremely troubled state of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Lots of places can expose you to identity theft. That's why LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity, which is way more than anyone can do on their own. If we find anything suspicious, like new loans or changes to your financial accounts, we alert you right away, all through text, phone, email, or the LifeLock app. Save up to 30% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.